Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM. The host and moderator for Alaska Edition is Lori Townsend.
Hello, thanks for joining us. We're trying something different on Alaska Edition this week. Instead of having guests that are news reporters, my guests today are part of this week's news. The Affordable Care Act's online health insurance marketplace is launched across the country this week. Each state is required to have a marketplace as part of the ACA. The sites are where people can shop for a health insurance plan and figure out if they qualify for a subsidy to help pay for it. Under the health care law, nearly everyone in the country is required to have health insurance starting January 1st. My guests today are here to answer questions about how to sign up for coverage. Joshua Weinstein is a benefits consultant with Enroll Alaska. Thanks for being here, Joshua.
My pleasure, Lori.
Valerie Davidson is the Senior Director of Intergovernmental and Legal Affairs with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for being here. And Sue Brogan is the Vice President of Income and Health with United Way of Anchorage. Thank you very much to my panel today. Mr. Weinstein, let's start off with you. We're off to sort of a rocky start this week with trouble across the nation for people trying to sign up online, not having success. What are you hearing about how quickly this will be resolved?
Mixed bag. There's some insiders in Washington that are indicating that things should get better. Some additional servers have been added for the marketplace website where people who are interested in applying for coverage, looking at the tax credits they might be able to receive for health insurance. There's some window shopping going on, and just millions of visitors hit the website in the first few days of launch, and consequently it's being bogged down. As a result, we are wanting to help our consumers apply, but we're just a little bit gun shy to sit down and take applications when you might put in your information and see it lost and receive an error.
But the anticipation is that possibly by next week?
Every day I log in and it's getting a little better. Today I was able to go in and create a personal account. Yesterday I worked off my agent account, was actually able to walk through a full application and just to the point where you hit send. I was fabricating information just to see what would happen, but it was functional yesterday, and this morning I got a few error messages. Although we did receive word that some people have actually enrolled all the way through the federal marketplace, and so we're hopeful that the bugs are getting worked out and the capacity's being dealt with.
All right, great. Walk us through some examples of what families can expect. Let's start with a family of four with an income of $80,000. The parents are 40. Assume that they're non-smokers. What will the rates be and deductibles out of pocket for like the silver plans?
Sure. So pretty typical or average Alaska family here in you know, mom and dad and two kids, and with an $80,000 income, one if assuming neither of those parents has access to health insurance through an employer. Perhaps they're a self-employed couple, and then maybe they have their own small business, and so no one's there to provide them a health option. It's been very tricky for them today to find a health plan. Going forward, they would be able to shop the marketplace, and although you hear the terms bronze, silver, and gold quite often, I don't think a lot of consumers understand what that really means. It describes not only the fact that a bronze plan is going to cost you less in premium than a gold plan, but once you're enrolled in the plan, it means how much you'll have to pay before the insurance benefits kick in. And so on a gold level plan, the deductible and the limits on your out-of-pocket expenses are lower than, say, a bronze plan, and silver's right in the middle. For example, that family that you I prepared for today, their premium with a Blue Cross Silver plan, and that's called the benchmark plan. It's the second least expensive plan in the market, and that's what the subsidy or tax credits are based on. Premium's $1,296 for that family a month. And so that's a big ticket. Once, though, we look at the income and factor that in, that $1,296 gets reduced. And so based on them making $80,000, they'll be able to get into the marketplace for less than $400 a month into that plan. And so it's a sliding fee schedule, just depending on what their income is. For example, if that family were making about $30,000, they would pay $49 a month for that silver level plan. and they would also get some help with paying their deductibles and their copays. So it's a sliding fee schedule for both premiums and deductibles and copays. And that means that those who have the lower ability to purchase health insurance will now be able to get into the health plan for a reasonable amount, and when they need to use it, they'll be able to afford their deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses.
Give us another scenario. Let's say someone 55 years old making $48,000, an individual. What can that person expect?
So in an individual making $48,000, that's an older, you know, Alaskan, and even though the law requires a limit on how much you can charge in premiums from low to old, it's still about a $756 premium for that 55-year-old. After subsidy, though, that 55-year-old is looking at $380 a month for that plan. And that's because he's limited, or she, to 9.5% of income for that silver plan. If that 55-year-old said, gosh, I'm in really good health, I don't really need that silver plan, I could go down to a bronze plan, they might pay about $200 a month for that plan. And there's nothing today, Lori, that I can help a 55-year-old Alaskan with that's going to come anything close to those premium rates.
What would they be paying in today's market, $1,000 or?
Well, the rate today for that 55-year-old, we're at $756, it would probably be closer to $500 or $600. So okay. The cost of insurance has gone up mm-hmm. across all age bands because the plans are richer. There's required benefits that need to be provided under the plans. There's no denials for anyone because of a health condition. And so just by virtue of having to accept everyone, the rate base is higher. But when we factor in the income, and for this 55-year-old making $48,000 to pay less than $400 a month for a silver plan, he would be, or she would be, someone I would describe as a winner under the Affordable Care Act. And that's all contingent on that individual not having access to affordable employer-based insurance. And so if people have access to job-based coverage, for the most part, they're fine. They don't need to go out to this marketplace and bog down the website, perhaps, and go shopping. They're set up already.
It sort of sounds as if you're saying that it will be, one of the reasons that it will be slightly more expensive or more expensive is because the coverage will be better than what people are currently getting, and that's factored into why these premiums are going to be higher. Is that correct?
That's right. For example, today the individual marketplace plans do not cover maternity. They don't cover mental health or chemical dependency treatment. They have annual limits on benefit payouts, and they, depending if at the time of application what your health history is, you might be denied coverage just right out. If you're, for example, we might have someone call our office, says I have type 2 diabetes, and we'll just say, unfortunately, you're not eligible for one of these private health plans. We would explain that there's a high risk pool available to them, and then there's some real premium shock. But these new marketplace plans, again, are issued regardless, and it's an income-based premium schedule, and that's creating some great assistance for people who fall into the chart. Of course, those who are above the chart will have to pay the full cost of the insurance without the subsidy. So it's a mixed bag.
Well, thank you for that. Valerie Davidson with Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Many people that are non-natives think that IHS pays for everything for Native people. So why is ANTHC interested in the Affordable Care Act?
I would love if the federal government paid for all of the resources that are required to be able to provide health services, but unfortunately that's not our reality. The Indian health system, including tribally operated programs in Alaska, actually receive about half of the level of funding needed, even based upon the federal government's own analysis. And unfortunately, if we want to be able to keep our providing health care, keeping our clinics heated when some rural communities paying up to $11 a gallon for heating oil, which is the same as the price of gas, or 26 cents a kilowatt hour to keep the lights on. Unfortunately, if the service costs $1,000 and the IHS only provides $500 of those dollars, we have to seek resources from elsewhere to be able to continue to provide that service. And so we are very dependent upon third-party reimbursements, whether it's Medicaid, Denali KidCare, private insurance, including the marketplace plans. We're also dependent upon grants to be able to shore up our resources so that we can continue providing services into the future.
Are there requirements, or if there are, what are Alaska Native and other Native people required to do under the Affordable Care Act?
So a couple of things. One is we've heard some concerns from folks that they're really worried that the place they go to receive health care, there's not going to be available anymore because of these marketplace plans, and that's not true. The tribal health system will continue to provide service. That does not go away. Neither does the Indian Health Service. And what this really does is provide additional opportunities for coverage. And what we know is that anytime you have the opportunity to increase coverage, you also increase people's access to care. That's a huge issue in our state, especially a state that has a very rural state that has very few roads connecting any communities. Typically, if you choose the right plan, may include a travel benefit. And if you live in a small community of 300 people, or even a big giant community of 2,000 people, you may not have a dentist or you may not have a specialist. And you may, by signing up for a marketplace plan, be able to have a travel benefit that will pay for that round trip plane ticket and any medically necessary travel. Now, for Alaska Natives and American Indians, they are exempt from the individual mandate if they can demonstrate that they are a tribal member, they can demonstrate that they are an ANCSA or Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act regional or village corporation shareholder, or they qualify under the hardship exemption because they receive services in a tribally health provided facility here in Alaska. But they have to go on to the marketplace and apply for the exemption. The good news is that once you apply for the exemption, it's a lifetime exemption, because if you're Alaska Native or American Indian, we don't anticipate that's going to change during your lifetime. And so therefore, it's an exemption that will last through your lifetime. But the good news is that you're not alone. I mean, people really aren't alone. And there are a lot of people who are working really hard in this state to make sure that our resources are available through the healthcare.gov website. ANTHC also has a website specific to the Affordable Care Act and information specific to Alaska Native and American Indian people. It's available on our website, anthc.org/ACA. And you can get some of the specific information about the rules that apply to us. And there are certain things you have to do to make sure that you are exempt from the individual mandate. But we've heard from a lot of folks that we serve that they are interested in purchasing that insurance for their families, and they do qualify for some of the subsidies, and this is an opportunity to increase coverage for everybody.
Mm-hmm. What's the plan? You mentioned people in rural Alaska. What's the plan for getting the word out to rural Alaska, and are you going to be traveling, or how will you do that?
Yes, we actually already have been. We're very fortunate that we've been able to partner with United Way of Anchorage. United Way is going to be focused on the Anchorage and typically Anchorage urban area. In rural Alaska, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is partnering with tribal health organizations. There are about 30 different tribal health organizations in rural Alaska. And the great news is that those tribal health organizations provide health care not only to Alaska Natives and American Indians, but also everybody who lives in those communities. And they already employ individuals who help people sign up for Medicaid, sign up for Denali Kid Care, and we're working with them to make sure that they know how to help people enroll in marketplace plans as well, and also how to qualify for the exemption. So we've already been traveling throughout the state over the last year, and we will continue that. I know folks were in Nome yesterday. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be in Kodiak. We're also going to be going to the Bethel area in November, and we'll be making our rounds throughout the state just to make sure that people have as much information as possible.
Do you have a goal of how many people you'd like to have signed up by the March 31st deadline?
Well, we'd love to be able to. There are about 143,000 Alaska Natives, and we'd love to be able to have, if we'd like to, Well, I'd like to actually sign everybody up, to tell you the truth.
What a realistic goal, Valerie.
Well, I'd probably say if we could probably hit about 2,000 people, I'd be happy.
Okay.
It isn't everybody. A lot of our population is actually eligible for Medicaid, and I really hope our state takes advantage of the opportunities to expand Medicaid to provide coverage for Medicaid expansion for individuals up to 138% of the federal poverty level, because quite frankly, that's where a lot of our citizens could benefit from.
So. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Sue Brogan, you're with the United Way. Mm-hmm. Why did the United Way get into this? It seems a little bit off what your normal focus is.
Well, actually, we've been working on access to healthcare for almost 10 years, and maybe even a little bit longer than that when we started, helped launch the Anchorage Project Access back many, many years ago. We had many conversations about prior to getting into this, and we just felt like our strength in our community, our partnerships with, ANTHC and Enroll Alaska and our service providers in the nonprofit sector really lent itself to offering connections and an ability to get the word out. We have the Alaska 211 system, which is the number that we're encouraging everybody to call. As Valerie mentioned, we have been working closely with them, and we've got the health clinics and the information, the certified application counselors, all of that information at 211. So if we get calls and somebody's calling from Fairbanks wanting to know where to go to get, in-person assistance, we can give them a referral. So it is in line with the role that we play in communities, and we also have strong, partnerships with our other United Ways across the state. We have navigators, two here in Anchorage, one in Juneau, and one soon to be in Fairbanks. And really, anytime you're working on a large social issue, it isn't one organization that can do it alone. And even the three of us that are represented here cannot do it alone. So we really need to pull together and form a system that can get the word out and hopefully get as many people enrolled. And, as Josh and Valerie mentioned, we are doing the navigator. We're playing that role. And we're sitting in front of people and asking them their information, and they're telling us their story. It may not be appropriate for all enrollment to go through that process. This is very complicated. And in many situations, the referral will be to Enroll Alaska or somebody, an agent and broker in their community, because it has to, the conversation is with the consumer and what's best for the consumer, and the ability to say, you've got a very complex situation. You would really be better served going this direction. It's not that I'm going to sit and enroll because that is my job. It's the training that you take when you are a navigator. Almost every other screen reads, it's about the consumer. Please listen to the consumer. What's best for the consumer? So, again, we're proud to be a part of this system change for the state of Alaska, because we really do, at the end of the day, want a healthier Alaska.
The word is a little bit self-explanatory, but please describe a little more in depth what a navigator is and what the mm-hmm. navigator program does.
There were two Navigator grants that were issued for the state of Alaska, one to ANTHC and one to United Way. Navigators take 20 to 30 hours of training. They're credentialed. They can sit and have a conversation with you and take you through the process once the system behaves itself, which it hasn't up till now, and actually can enroll you, and you can make your first payment, your first insurance payment right then and there if that's what you choose. Or it may be that you're referred to, another avenue. Like maybe you do need to go to DPA to look at some type of assistance or Medicaid or whatever. So, it really is every individual is going to be different. And the two navigators we have here in Anchorage, to Valerie's point about partnerships, our lead navigator, which is Joan Fisher, who's been in the healthcare industry for a very long time, is at Providence. And so we're happy about that new partnership that they allowed us to come in as an in-kind donation to be there, and then we'll be at the YWCA, which we felt was a strength because they have such a diverse population that they serve. And part of our grant funding goes to interpretive services for those folks that don't have English as their first language. So again, that's kind of what United Way does in a community, is just lifts that up and connects. And so
the navigators are quite literally exactly what they sound like, helping you navigate the system. Why should someone go to the navigator program rather than just simply to an insurance agent?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think it's the time and place that you interact with somebody. So if you're there at the hospital at Providence, you could stop in and talk to the navigator, and then they may lead you into a direction of down the hallway where Enroll Alaska will be. You know, some people are going to enroll online by themselves and never interact with anybody. Some people will call the toll-free national hotline and enroll through that process. Some will go through, you know, other means. So it's just another way to connect people with the information, and then they'll decide really if it's going to work for them or not, or if they'd rather sit down and have a more in-depth conversation. Again, it's really about each individual.
And maybe one of you could answer, is there different information that a navigator may have that an insurance agent might not? Valerie?
So for our population, and this is true for populations that have historically not had health coverage, health insurance is really a brand new language. I mean, you have to learn about what does coverage mean, what are your benefits, what is the copay, what does that even mean, what does the premium mean, what does the deductible mean. And a lot of what people are asking for help is, what does the deductible mean? What does that mean to my family? Why should I care about that? If I'm looking for this, should I choose the plan that's the cheapest? And a lot of our conversation really is, you should choose a plan that's right for your family. We're not allowed to steer them in one direction, but we can have conversations with folks like, you know, if you live in a rural area and you have limited health access, you might want to look at a plan that has a travel benefit. So if you want to be able to travel to be able to reach, have better access to healthcare, then that's something that you'll need to look for. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is just starting a conversation with people who have never really had coverage before. And one of the things that we certainly know is that when people have questions about health coverage, they go to people they know and they go to people they trust. Mm-hmm. And that's typically at their encounter as they're getting their child immunized or they're there for whatever it is. They'll go to people that they know and they'll trust. And if that person that they're working with says, you know, for your case, I would recommend that you also talk to somebody else, they're going to take that recommendation a lot more seriously than from someone that they may not know.
Sure. Joshua, why Alaska will be one of the states that has the highest rates across the nation. Some states have as many as 50 or 60 insurance companies to choose from, which will help make those rates more competitive. But in Alaska, there's only two insurance companies. Why is that?
Well, that's true. There haven't been a lot of insurance companies to date that have been servicing individuals and families. We expect there'll be additional carriers inside the marketplace, perhaps for 2015. However, for now, we have Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska and Moda Health. And they're both different carriers. They have different strengths and weaknesses, different approaches to how they're setting up their plans, but they're both having to comply with the Affordable Care Act, and that they have to have the essential health benefits, of which there are 10. They have to have limitations on how much someone can be expected to pay in their deductible or out-of-pocket expenses. And so we really expect that going forward there'll be more carriers to come into the markets. There are some applicants who will not need to go through the marketplace for various reasons, and I think that's to the point of helping to. I look at the navigators as traffic directors, if you will. People come to them most often and maybe say, "I'm on Medicare and I'm retired from the state three times, and what do I need to do?" And it's really, well, you're fine. You don't need to do anything, and that brings, I believe, a significant amount of peace of mind to that person. That okay, I'm fine. Or someone who has a VA coverage or can get onto their employer's plan. And I believe really getting people into the right place. The marketplace, though, is small. The rates are high, but there are upwards of 100 different possible plan options inside the marketplace between those two carriers. So there's lots of flavors of bronze, silver, and gold. And my whole book here is filled with rate sheets, and it's overwhelming for someone to, especially that doesn't have that background in understanding health coverage, to work through it and figure out where to land.
We've heard a lot about the need to get young, healthy people mm-hmm. into the pool. Why is that so important?
Well, insurance is based on sharing financial risk. And if an insurance company now has to cover everyone who applies, including their pre-existing conditions, without any annual or lifetime limits on the services, it's real important that we get a healthy spread of the population to enroll. And you know, further exacerbating the challenge is that younger folks who are going to experience an increase in rates. My colleague Albert tells me to tell his story. He's 33, and if he didn't have access to group health insurance, he could buy a plan today that's a bronze for $150 a month with Moda. And that new similar plan is $290. And so he's really, that's almost a doubling of his rate. However, on the older age of the spectrum, we're not seeing decreases. We're seeing just smaller increases. And so for the younger folks who we really need and the most, who are the healthiest, are going to be the most financially challenged.
Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you to my guests, Joshua Weinstein, Valerie Davidson, and Sue Brogan. I'll be your host again next week. We'll be talking about diversity in the newsroom. Thank you for joining us.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.